If you thank you once again for your kind attention. Thank you for being here. We are now open in our regular session. The very first thing we're going to have is roll call, and after that, selection of superintendent, a brief intermission, then we'll go on with business. If we could, roll call, Ms. Ford.
Chairman Highlander.
Here.
Vice Chairman Jones.
Here.
Mr. Galloway.
Here.
Mrs. Lennon.
Here.
Oops. Wait a minute, I got the wrong sheet here.
Sorry. Mrs. Robinson.
Here.
Mr. Testerman.
Here.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Ms. Thurman.
Here.
Mr. Wingate.
Here.
Did I get everybody? Ms. Jones. Okay, I got it. Thank you. I got the wrong name on here. Sorry. My bad. We're here.
Okay. All present and accounted for?
Yes, sir.
So we'll have a roll call vote. Ms. Ford, if you'll start it, please.
Mr. Galloway.
Dr. Kelly.
Ms. Jones.
Dr. Kelly.
Mrs. Lennon.
Dr. Kelly.
Mrs. Robinson.
Dr. Brian Johnson.
Mr. Smith.
Dr. Brian Johnson.
Mr. Testerman.
Dr. Kelly.
Mrs. Thurman.
Dr. Brian Johnson.
Mr. Wingate.
Dr. Brian Johnson.
Dr. Highlander.
Dr. Brian Johnson. Let me say this. I would certainly hope that we will all get behind the leader and work with him closely and pray for him. We'll have a five-minute intermission while I can contact the people.
Recess. You have to recess.
A five-minute recess. Excuse me. Thank you, those of you who have remained. We have some changes before we have the approval of the agenda. Is that correct, Ms. Ford? We need to go over the changes first.
Are you going to do the motion and vote for the superintendent first since we've already done that?
All right, that's true. We need to do that. Do we have the motion that we approve Dr. Brian Johnson as the superintendent?
I motion.
Made the motion. Ms. Thurman, second?
I second.
Second?
Who's second?
Mr. Wingate, second.
No, Kathy
Lynn
made the motion.
Right.
Oh, Kathy, I'm sorry.
And you seconded. Okay,
that's fine. 2 seconds, that's fine. Okay, we need to vote on this, please.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Mrs. Jones.
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon.
Yes.
Sorry. The wrong sheet here. Mrs. Robinson.
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. Help me here, Mr. Parliamentarian, on procedures. Yes, do we need a motion to authorize you to negotiate the contract with him?
That's what I inferred the last one was, but...
I have a question about that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
So, with this current position, with the current situation, what contract are we negotiating? Are we negotiating what we had previously? Because we never came up with a new contract.
Oh,
if you're talking
about the structure, that's my understanding from what the will of the board was and some emails that I've gotten from y'all is that you want to take the contract that you have, but you want to incorporate into it strategic performance benchmarks. And so what that will eventually look like will depend greatly upon what Dr. Johnson or his attorney and I work through, but I will obviously keep y'all up to date about what that's going to be. So we're going to have benchmarks in there, and this board's obviously going to have to come to a consensus about what they are. All I can do is start with your strategic plan and go from there.
And correct me if I'm wrong, in a contractual agreement, both parties have to come together and agree. So
yes, sir.
We can start our process.
So what you're saying is we don't have a contract to present to him?
Well,
I'm asking the board. I'm asking my peers. We don't have something to present to this person other than what we previously had? Because, I mean, I'm just saying if it was me and I was accepting the job, I want to know what I was looking at.
Well, the situation is normal because you didn't know until 30 minutes ago that y'all were going to be hiring him. So we haven't had a chance to talk with him about his, well, I understand that Coleman Lewis talked with him about salary expectations, so that is known. In terms of duration, I think that is also known, and I understand that that, you know what, that is a question that I need guidance from the board on. Is it the board's pleasure that we aim for a four-year contract or some term less than that? I do need the board's guidance on that.
State law allows
for up to 4 years.
Yeah, the state allows up to 4 years maximum on a contract.
Yes, sir.
Is this the appropriate time to discuss it? Do we need a work session?
Well, I think tonight's a good time to discuss. If the board has a strong preference, regardless, I do need to know my authority about whether we're talking about 4 years. But Ms. Jones, I'll put something together, and I will incorporate the goals and objectives that this board's already talked about. It's going to look a whole lot like what you have, but with a vision that this board's cast into it. And a commitment from this board to evaluate him on the basis of those goals and objectives. That piece is going to have to be left for another day, because this board needs to decide how it wants to measure the goals and objectives you already set forth. And that's where we do need a work session, Mr. Chairman.
Eventually, but not at present, not tonight. Okay, that's normal procedure to follow.
Yes,
that,
which,
the way I understand it. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, next.
Well, I do need the board to let me know if they want 4 years or something else.
Do they need a motion that, or
there needs to be a motion?
Would anyone like to make a motion?
I'd like to move that we authorize our lawyer to pursue a 4-year contract.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Second, moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Discussion.
Yeah, discussion now.
Yeah. You know, since we're going to do the evaluations, I would like a 2-year contract and then evaluate, because I tell you what, I do not want to get into the situation we have to buy out another contract, which is one of the main reasons I liked one of the candidates who did not want a contract.
Put a no buyout clause.
So, let's say, if we're going to do that, we're going to have to put a no buyout clause. We're going to have to do something, because I do not want to get this board in that situation again. We have to have a buyout, so I don't know what that's going to look like, either a 2-year and wait till we evaluate or something else, but I just don't want to give a flat 4-year contract and then maybe things aren't going as well as we hoped, and we have to ask him to leave, and then the taxpayers are left holding the bag. So I don't know what that's going to look like.
Well, let me suggest what I can do is I can work in there the teeth that some board members have asked about in years gone by, because the contracts haven't spelled out goals and objectives. We can put in the contract that if the superintendent's not meeting the benchmarks established by the board, that there isn't a buyout. I mean, it's a performance contract. So it would give him the 4 years of security that he might want, since he has a young family, but it also addresses Ms. Thurman's concern that you don't want to buy out a contract if the performance issues are substantial. And again, as Dr. Highlander pointed out, it's back and forth. And so really this starts the process. Dr. Johnson may have a counter. And so it may be that we need a work session to actually put the fine points on it.
I think we would have to. All we're authorizing you to do now, as I understand it, sir, is to enter the negotiation process.
Yes, sir.
And that's all we're looking at right now.
But are you saying that you have to know if we're doing 2-year or 4-year?
No. I do. Well,
it could be 3 years.
It would be helpful to know. I mean, if I could leave it open, but if the strong feeling of the board is for 2 years, then I need to know that. I think, just to let him know on the upfront, because that may drive moving expenses. If he's got a 2-year contract, he may want more moving expenses. I just kind of need to know the duration of the contract, basically.
May I speak?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, if we're going to have a work session about it, I won't go too much into it, but I do prefer probably a 3-year versus a 2 or 4. But something that I'm wondering if what would be in the contract, or maybe it's a board policy rather than a contract question. The renewal period for a contract, I think in the past we've renewed maybe 2 years into the 4 years. Is that correct?
That's the way that this board's done it, but you don't have to.
Is that stated in the contract, or at least in the past, has it been? Okay. It's more of just a board decision?
It's been the board's decision.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any other? Mr. Wingate.
I just would like to say I think a 2-year contract probably doesn't show a lot of faith on our part in our decision making. So I'd like to see us extend a little bit more than a 2-year contract. I mean, the intention is to invest in a new leader and with the idea that he's going to invest in us also. And so I think there's a level of commitment that we're going to have to show on our part. And I just think anything less than that, we misrepresenting ourselves a little bit.
Also, one thing that has been mentioned in the past is performance incentives. And, you know, I wanted to bring that up and let this board, if obviously we can present a basic minimal financial package, would this board be open to, if certain status levels are achieved, that we would have a bonus or whatever raised to a higher level for that year as performance? But that's been mentioned, and so I thought I need to bring it up now rather than later, and we can consider yes, no, or maybe for the future, but I just want to bring it up. Comments, Ms. Thurman?
I think your performance bonus is you get to keep your job. Okay. This is what we're talking about. Because I tell you what, then you get into the part, then the numbers start being a little, you know, you start kind of tweaking the numbers a little bit to make it look a little bit better. I don't like that. You're going to come to work, and if you do a good job, you get to keep it. If not, I'm sorry, but.
Okay. Ms. Lennon?
Is this not something we can talk about at the work session?
That's true.
Thank you.
But I think we can. It's at least we can have it in the people's minds, in the forefront of the minds, to consider. Any other comments?
Just a point of order, Mr. Chairman. I believe you've got a motion and a second on the floor right now.
But we're still in discussion. Okay. Thank you. You're exactly right, sir. I want to make sure all the discussion's over. But you've made good points, sir. Any other discussion before we go for the vote? Okay. So we have the vote then.
Okay.
I have a question. Is strictly this vote strictly for 4 years? Correct?
Yes, sir.
That's what we're voting on.
The motion that I have is authorization to enter into negotiations for a contract of up to 4 years.
Of up to 4 years.
That motion for 3 years? Well,
that's different than just 4 years. So, you know, that changes the whole thing.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Dr. Johnson, I don't know what he's going to say, and
right.
So the motion was to give me
some latitude.
Because I don't know what, and obviously understand that the next meeting this board's going to have to approve the contract if there's not a work session in between. So really what you're doing is you're giving me the maximum authority under state law to come back with something.
Okay.
And there is no contract until this board approves it.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
I'm good. I just wanted to be sure I understood.
Yeah.
I do now.
There is no contract until we approve it. Ms. Robinson?
Okay, but what we're about to vote on is for you to draft the contract for 4 years.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I do not want to vote on a 4-year contract.
So you would
so I do
no.
not want you to base. Well, I'm just saying, can I, like, counter this? Like, can I? Somebody just tell me what to do.
Yes, the chair is correct. You would make a substitute motion, and if that passes,
okay,
then that becomes the main motion.
I'd like to make a substitute motion that it be a 3-year contract rather than 4.
I'll second that.
Does the original presenter, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Parliamentarian, the person who made the motion needs to agree, is that correct?
On a substitute motion, sir, no.
So we vote now on the substitute motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, we're now voting on the substitute motion.
Which is to enter into negotiation for a three-year contract.
For a three-year contract.
Up to 3 years.
So we're ready to vote on that.
Okay. Mr. Galloway.
Well, yes. You can have some discussion on that, too, can't you?
Okay.
I'm just here to tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
This young man, if he's not offered 4 years contract, he may turn this thing down because he's got a board right here. We're going to try to second-guess everything. State law's 4 years. I think we are very foolish not to offer this gentleman a 4-year contract. That's my humble opinion. I wouldn't do it.
Okay. Good comment. Any other comments before we vote?
I have a question comment. So with the 4 years, we would talk about the benchmarks, and then the benchmarks would be determining if it actually made to the fourth year. Is that right?
No, ma'am.
I think I got that confused when somebody mentioned that earlier.
Sure.
About not having to buy out somebody if that came up.
The consensus the entire board, but many board members have expressed a desire to have performance metrics worked in not only just to the evaluation process of the superintendent, but also that they're embedded into the contract, so there's an accountability piece. And so I think what Ms. Thurman was asking is, if these metrics weren't met, then might there be cause to terminate the contract before before its full term? Did I say that?
No.
And the answer is correct.
After 2 years or 3 years, if he doesn't meet the benchmarks, then we let him go without having to buy him out.
Right.
But as it stands, before you do any of this, what he knows that we normally do here is a 4-year contract, correct?
I can't speak to what he knows.
I'm saying if the general public looked it up.
This board routinely has done 4-year contracts.
Okay. All right.
Is it not possible for you to just start the process and then we have a work session to determine the length? I just feel like this is... Like, this question, first of all, I didn't come to this meeting prepared to answer this question and decide how I wanted to vote on this, so I've had no preparation on it. But I build contracts for a living, just like you do. And
this man needs a 4-year contract. We have debated this thing for on and on.
Sure. Well, I wasn't finished on my statement, but the point is that it feels like we need to probably think through this a little bit more, because I've got a number of reasons why I think that it should be a 3-year versus 4-year. But the thing is that I could hear from the other 8 of you, you know, reasons for why you think it should be 4-year, and I could easily change my mind, because again, it's whenever you're building a contract, it's about asking a number of questions and coming up with answers to them. So all I'm simply saying is it not possible to go ahead and have you start the basis of a contract and then we have a work session to determine the length of time we want to present? Or do you actually have to give him something in the next, like, say, 72 hours?
Well, I don't have to give him, no, ma'am, there's no timeline, but what I have found is that superintendents, when they're moving across the state, kind of want to know, if I'm accepting this salary level, how long is the contract? And if the contract's going to be for a shorter period of time, then they may want more salary. And so you're absolutely correct. Because state law says this board can enter into a contract for up to 4 years, if I have no guidance, then our negotiations are going to be predicated upon the fact that it's going to be for up to 4 years. It would become very difficult, I think, to go back to Dr. Johnson and say, you know, we were talking about up to 4 years, but we really only want to do 2. So I think if you want to do less than that, now's the time to say it. But you're all raising great policy points. It's a simple matter of if you're uncomfortable giving me a full 4 years, then I kind of need to know. Just because otherwise, that's where he's going to negotiate from.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just the way that I'm seeing it is that, like, I mean, all the things you just said, I mean, the point is that if the base isn't 4 years, but again, we have valid reasons for that, then there are other areas that we would give on, right? Like, because, I mean, that's what happens in negotiation. So I guess all that to say, like, I didn't come to this meeting prepared to make a decision on this, and I think it's a really important topic. So anyways, I'll just leave it at that.
Anyone else have a comment before we vote on the amended
substitute?
Substitute motion for 3-year contract.
So would you restate that, please, Ms. Ford?
To a substitute motion has been made to enter into negotiations, ask our attorney to enter into negotiations for a contract up to 3 years.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Bennett. If this is voted down, we will enter into a contract up to 4 years. Is that correct?
That's the main motion.
We'll go back to the main motion. Substitute motion is voted down.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I believe, is everyone clear with that now? Okay. We're voting on the substitute motion of up to 3 years.
Okay. Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mrs. Lennon?
No.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
No.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
No.
Chairman Highlander?
No.
So now we go back and vote on the original motion of up to 4 years.
So we have a 5-4 vote, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes, sir. Motion fails, so that we're back to the main motion authorizing me to enter into a contract of up to 4 years. Enter into negotiations for a contract of up to 4 years.
Up to 4 years.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, are we ready for the vote now?
Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. Thank you so much, and I'm certainly glad we have an able parliamentarian among us. Correct me if I'm wrong now, but we need to go over the amended items before we do the approval. Number one, under item Roman numeral 5, approval of consent agenda. C, business and finance. 3, budget amendments. B, school nutrition. D, campus support. 3, East Ridge High property agreement update. Number 2, Roman numeral 2 will be deleted. Recognition and presentations. FBLA student recognition, David Cowan, director of CTE, has been deleted. Third, if I can find it.
Is the delegates.
Is the appearances before the board. In addition to the appearances before the board, we have two additional. The first additional appearance before the board is Mr. Michael McCamish, address Signal Mountain School District Viability Committee. And the second is Debbie Poss, ask about ownership of Signal Mountain building property. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Bennett, since those both are in the same area, they will share 5 minutes, or do they have 5 minutes each?
If I heard the description correctly, it's a little bit different. I would say that's
two different items.
Ms. Ford says that they're different items, so that would be two separate
items. Okay, two separate items, sir. 5 minutes each. That will be fine. I just want clarification. Thank you. Thank you so much. Do I hear a motion that we approve the agenda as amended?
I make a motion.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay. So we need to vote, please.
Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. We are honored to have Greg Bagby, principal of Barger Academy, who will present our meditation and the pledge to the flag. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you and greetings. Chairman Highlander, school board members, central office staff, I feel kind of, well, I'll just say, this could have changed many different ways, but I think I like what I have, so I'm going to stick with it. And I'll start off by saying that we have accepted the calling to assist in educating all the students of Hamilton County. And we would like, of course, to create the very best district possible for our students. When we think of our students and we have those sleepless nights, or we get up in the morning anticipating what the day will bring after something has happened in the neighborhood, and we feel for these students. And there are many times where teachers get to the school and they feel as if they're given the job of the Israelites making bricks without straw, something akin to that. And yet, well, to borrow a phrase from a friend of mine, we continually meet the students at their point of need and bring them to their potential. And I go through and I think about, when we stop and think about why we would do this over and over, and then you think about the fact that we are all in this for the betterment of the students of Hamilton County. And that's our goal, is to make each one of our students the best they can be. That's it. Now let's stand for the pledge. Attention, salute, and pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it very much. Vice Chairman Jones, we'll have a reading before our three delegations.
Thank you for your interest in addressing the Hamilton County Board of Education. During your presentation, please address the board as a whole, not individual board members or administrators. Also, do not present complaints or concerns you have about an individual employee of the school system. If you wish to voice those complaints and concerns, you should contact the central office and ask for a meeting with the superintendent. If I believe you are criticizing an individual employee, I will interrupt you and ask you to refrain. If you continue to criticize individual employees, or if, in my opinion, your remarks are in error or are becoming repetitive, I may interrupt you and ask you to sit down. Please limit your remarks to 5 minutes. I will tell you when you have 1 minute left. You may begin when you're ready. Mr. McCamish. Oh, Dan, I'm sorry. Mr. Liner, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Chairman Highlander, members of the board, thank you again for this opportunity to speak on behalf of teachers in Hamilton County. First, I want to commend our 9 school board members for your due diligence in choosing Dr. Brian Johnson as our next leader of Hamilton County. Dr. Brian Johnson indicated in his interview last Thursday night that he values teachers' voices. And we are looking forward to beginning, or actually continuing, conversations with Dr. Johnson in the coming months. And I'm assuming he's coming on board on July 1. So I'm anticipating a conversation perhaps on July 2 or July 3 or perhaps July 4. We will begin having conversations with Dr. Johnson. So thank you for the work that you have done in choosing our new leader. I want to speak, though, about a business matter that you'll consider a bit later during this meeting. And it comes under Roman numeral 6, point B, which has to do with the approval of the MOU. And I want to speak just for a few moments about collaborative conferencing. Back in January, we began the work. We brought several people into the room to begin the work around collaborative conferencing. And, of course, we are reopening 3 items in the MOU. Those 3 items included salary, fringe benefits, and insurance. So throughout the several months of meetings and discussions and collaboration, we were able to reach agreements. And I want to emphasize collaboration. In the memo that you received, I believe, from Dr. Kelly, he talked about, or he mentioned, two sides. He said the two sides agreed, and I would never disagree with Dr. Kelly on purpose. But I would say that there really were not two sides in the room, because when we came into the room, we had professional educators, a group of people representing professional educators, and a group of people that you appointed to represent you, and those members represent management. We were actually one team. We have here Ms. Stewart and Dr. McDade, and I think they would agree with my statement we were actually one team. There was truly a spirit of collaboration in the room. This was a model for other collaborative conferencing teams to emulate because of the sense of being one, the sense of doing what's best for teachers. So during that, during those sessions, we reached three agreements that are very important for your approval tonight. And I'm encouraging you to approve the MOU per the agreement. The first agreement was that teachers, educators, employees would receive an increase in salary of 3%. The second agreement is that educators would receive a bonus in January, not in January, but in November, of $250. And then the other agreement that is most important is that teachers, educators who attend professional development will be paid $15 per hour instead of $10 per hour. So I'm here to endorse those agreements and to indicate that those agreements are funded already in the balanced budget. So please give due consideration to the MOU, and I'm asking for unanimous approval. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Wow, Dan. You left some time on the clock. You're the star pupil for today. Mr. McCamish.
Thank you for hearing me again. I was, I think, present in March about the same matter. I've been with a group of concerned Signal Mountain residents, primarily people who live outside of the town of Signal Mountain, that live in Walden and unincorporated. We've been monitoring the viability committee that has been considering the breakoff of Signal Mountain School District, of course. And we have major concerns. The momentum has been going on for a while now towards validating the breakoff. And the fact that we have two committee members of, and I must say up front, there, out of the seven people, I would say four or five, at least, are objectively trying to consider this matter. But the fact that we have two that are from the ad hoc committee that went to Memphis that have really directed and honed the direction of this committee, we're getting ready to come out with an opinion that it is a valid viability. It is something that is a good direction, and a vote will probably happen, maybe happen. But however, I am part of a resistance, and I feel like that in the last 24 hours we've seen things transpire that to me gives us definitely some question as to whether or not there will be a vote. We now have a Facebook page we have that has in the last 12 hours has reached 60 people as followers. We have a website. We have a bumper sticker that I enlarged, and it says, "Community is bigger than a mountain. Stay with hcde.com." We have a Twitter account, and we're starting to get momentum. And I feel like that we've been stonewalled with questions that are essential for us to make an informed vote. And one of the multiple things, one thing is that the teachers have had no opinion heard whatsoever. That's something that they talk about every meeting doing, asking the teachers. Well, now it's summer, and they want to come out with an answer by late summer, early fall. The other thing is the school, the buildings. The mayor, who has been sitting in on the committee every meeting just about, has 2 cents to add and contribute. He wasn't supposed to be there. And it wasn't until this past Monday that it was told to him by other town council members that you weren't supposed to be doing that. But he has directed and biased this committee in his presence. And so one of the things that he put forward is that the committee is not supposed to consider the buildings, that is something that is outside of their consideration. But if we are to vote, and by the way, we, meaning not I, because I'm not included in that, I live in Hamilton County. That's another issue. We are not going to get to have a say in this matter, because if you live in unincorporated Hamilton County, or if you live in Walden, which they're depending upon us for validating this school district, we're not going to have a say in it. So what we are here to do, there's quite a few of us here that are interested in doing, is working with you. We want your collaboration, partnership, intelligence, your expertise, we're just a group of citizens up there that are really ticked off, and we're upset about it. Yes, I will leave it to that, and I hope that we can actually make a formal meeting, that we can actually sit down and talk together. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Michael.
Ms. Paz?
I would just like to thank you for this opportunity, and I am a resident of the town of Signal Mountain, so I will get an opportunity to vote on this issue if it comes to that. I'm really just here today to I'd like to ask the board to please address this separate school system, and to begin with the ownership of the Signal Mountain Middle High School building and the property. And once there is an answer, if you could please let the viability committee and the town council aware of what this answer is. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Ms. Paz?
No.
Are you saying that you want us to address what that means if there was a separation? Like what happens to the buildings?
Yes.
Okay.
If I can make a brief comment, unless someone else wants to, if you look administrative matters, let me see, I believe it's administrative matters. Pardon me? Under board matters, excuse me. 7B, we have that for discussion this evening, at least our opening discussion on that. 7B, Signal Mountain Facilities, requested by Mrs. Lennon. Thank you. Okay, thank you all. Now, moving on to the approval of the minutes for May 18, 2017 regular session, and minutes of May 25, 2017 special session. Do I hear a motion that we approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Vote, please.
Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. Thank you. Now we need to approve the consent agenda. And after approval, we will have anyone that wants to pull.
After the motion.
After the motion, yes. Do we have a motion, please?
To approve.
To approve?
Second.
And second. Now, do we have anything that needs to be pulled?
Yes.
Ms. Thurman?
I have anybody else? Chris's light's on.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, I want to pull B1A, number 16. C1T and A1. I have some questions there.
I'm sorry, C1.
C1T and A. I'm sorry, and AI, I guess it is.
Okay, now we need to vote on the consent agenda as full.
Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. Okay. Ms. Thurman.
Okay, the trip, and this has nothing to do with Ottawa. I know this is probably a Fellowship of Christian Athletes trip, number 16, but it is to Panama, and it is in the summer. And I, like I said, have said before, I'm just not going to vote for any more trips for kids to go that far away from home. Not with that, with our approval. I'm just, I get very, very nervous about this. I think just yesterday we saw how crazy some people can be, and there are a lot of crazier people outside the United States for lots of different reasons. And so I just don't feel comfortable, especially during the summer when this is not something. I'm not even sure we need to approve trips in the summer. If you want to go in the summer, you should go on your own time. But anyway, these are, I just, like I say, I'm just going to pull it because I just don't feel comfortable. This is to the Republic of Panama. And so I just, like I say, I just don't feel comfortable with the kids going out of the country like that anymore.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Lennon? Oh, sorry. Any other comments on that? So we need to vote on that item. Is that the form of a motion that we deny that, Ms. Thurman?
Because it's pulled, it was not approved as part of the consent agenda.
Ah, correct.
And so if it's the pleasure of the board to approve it, there'll need to be a motion to approve it.
Okay. Correct. Thank you so much. Do we have a motion to approve that field trip for the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, to go to Panama? Am I not correct on that? Do I have a motion to approve the Ottawa FCA trip?
I'll make the motion to approve the trip to Panama.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve. And we need our vote.
Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
No.
Mrs. Thurman?
No.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. Next item, Ms. Thurman?
Sorry. The next one is the EBS consulting contract. I guess I think I've asked this question before, and I still never did really get a good answer. This is quite a large contract. I think by the time you add it together, it's a pretty good size contract. I guess my main thing is, I think it's like, I have it added up here, $128,000 a year. What is the relationship between EBS and the group that they refer all the cases to, Collins and Company? What is the relationship there? Is EBS just are we paying them that much just to consult, to look at things and say we're going to turn this over to Collins and Company? How exactly does that work?
EBS is our risk management consultant. We use them extensively through insurance claims. Anything that comes up during the school year, as far as
students getting hurt or injured on school grounds, the recent fire at Central High School where we had extensive damage done, that all went through EBS or our risk management firm. They then turn it over to Tennessee Risk Management Trust Insurance Company. Anytime I have questions about something as far as legality goes from an insurance perspective or a student injury claim or something, I go through EBS, and they're a valuable asset to the school system.
Well, what is the relationship to Collins and Company? Because a lot of people tell me when they turn something into EBS, they just automatically refer it right on to Collins and Company. I just don't know. And then we have Tennessee Risk Management. So there's like three people right there, and I'm not sure what the relationship is with each other.
I don't know. Is Ed here? I'll let him answer the Collins and Company because I'll tell you wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. To specifically answer your question, there is no relationship between EBS and Collins and Company. Collins is a vendor, just like Blue Cross, Cigna, Tennessee Risk Management Trust. What we do in risk management and benefits is make sure that they are providing the services that you're paying for. And for that, we staff the risk management department. We're on call 24/7. We handle student injuries. And I've prepared a presentation if you'd like to get a copy of it. I do it every year, but no one's ever asked to see it.
But well, I tell you what, I think I'd like to have that because I've always just been real. Because a lot of people tell me, they say, well, I don't, you know, we call risk management, and then they just put us right on through to Collins and Company. So I just, I mean, just for my own.
Sure. This is a good, this is a summary of what we do and what you're paying us for.
Yeah.
It's much more comprehensive than running the risk management department. And yes, there are three people there. One works for me, and one is an employee of the school system, and we use her part-time. She's about half split between risk management and the employee benefits department.
Okay, thank you for the information. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Any other any other comments before we have a motion? So we need a motion now to add that back in.
So move.
So moved by Mr. Galloway.
Second.
Second by Ms. Robinson. Call the vote, please.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Mrs. Jones.
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon.
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Testerman.
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman.
Yes.
Mr. Wingate.
He's excused for a moment.
Chairman Highlander.
Yes. Ms. Thurman, you have one more, I believe.
Yes, and the next one is A1, and what it is the Chattanooga State Graduation Diploma Completion Program. I guess I was just wondering, what is the difference in this graduation diploma completion and the adult high school? They're both about getting adults, I think, to the, I guess, well, maybe I really don't even know what the difference is. And the amount that the director makes was about $100,000. How many students do we graduate from that? And how many students, exactly what kind of, responsibility does this director have over how many ever students it is? $100,000 a year salary.
Dr. Robertson, are you going to address that for us? Or?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So there's quite a bit of difference between adult high school and diploma completion project. So adult high school students actually transfer and go to the adult high school. These students stay enrolled at their current high school. And it's, in my opinion, as a former principal, it helped kids that were a little bit further behind. They can catch up because it's online. Kids that maybe have to work, they could go half day in the morning, half day in the afternoon. So there's just a little bit more flexibility with it than compared to the adult high school. I can't tell you the exact number. I know Renee Lim is here. She may be able to tell you the exact number that graduated last year. I can tell you that one high school, Red Bank High School, had 18 kids. That's 18 out of a graduating class of about 170 that used this program to finish their diploma.
So we're saying it's an online class, and the director makes $100,000. Am I missing something here?
Well, so an online class, most kids need someone that's there to motivate them, to keep track of them, and it's a little bit more complicated than just saying it's an online class. But it is, in my opinion, a program that is well worth it. You're talking about close to 10% of one high school's graduating class that use this program to graduate. And again, I want to point out these are Title I funds, so it's supporting our Title I schools. And it's a, at this point, a lot of kids that can't get to the adult high school, which is all the way out Ottawa, this program fits them much better, and it's one that a lot of high schools use. Do you want me to ask if she knows the exact number of graduates?
I mean, I think somebody should know.
Renee, do you know?
Hi, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We served this year 96 students, 85 of those completed. And just to give you a picture of how that compares to Hamilton County High School, as Mr. Robertson pointed out, that a lot of our students can't get out there because of transportation issues, and that's a very well-known fact with our board. I think Hamilton County High School serves maybe 125, max 150 a year. So we are, with two staff members, serving almost as many students as a high school in a far-reaching part of our county that students cannot access.
And Ms. Sermon, can I point out that of those 96 students that attend, you're looking at kids that have probably average credits of in the mid-teens, and they've got to have 28 to graduate. So this allows them an alternative path, and those are 96 kids that were not on track to graduate in their high school. And out of those 95 that weren't on track, 85 is a pretty good return rate.
Well, I just don't want to be duplicating a lot of services. I know we've talked about even putting another adult high school downtown, and then we've talked about that, and then we're having that adult high school up there. We have all these graduation coaches in all of our high schools.
So
I mean, it just looks like to me that somebody could kind of figure out, you know, maybe one person be in charge of more than one thing. I mean, I'm just sorry, but I just...
Every school has to have a principal. So no matter how we consolidate this, if you have various locations, you've got to have somebody to coordinate those services for those children. And this is a less expensive option than opening up another campus. For next year, we have actually partnered with Hamilton County opening
an additional adult high school. And
yes.
I understand that if we have this, I'm wondering why we need another adult high school. That's my thing. I mean, I'm not crazy here, okay? That's just even for 96 people, a 96 student high school, make $100,000 a year. I'm sorry. But I still question that. But it doesn't really make any difference how far the kids can't go. That doesn't justify anything else. I don't know what that has to do with it.
Ms. Sermon, so we are looking at what you're talking about. Of course, you know, in the budget that's before the County Commission right now, there are several things on there that we've committed to that were in the priority list that did not get funded. Polytech, Gestomp, some other things like that of these programs that you're speaking in, and the adult high school downtown. When those start coming on board, we are looking at consolidating some of these staffs because we didn't have the positions in the budget. So we're going to have to figure something out. And when those things come into play, certainly we'll take a look at this program. And if it's not needed any longer, then we'll go in a different direction. But currently, we only have one adult high school, and it's out in Ootowa. So these 96 kids, 85 of which graduated, would not have graduated without this.
Well, that's why I'm wanting to get some clarification. Like I say, we have all these. We have the adult high school, the middle high school, the middle college. We have all these different schools, and they're everywhere. And I just think we just need a little bit more clarification if we can't consolidate some of this. Thank you.
Thank you both for your clarification. And, Dr. Robertson, I will say that Harrison and Ootowa are the center of God's country. So,
my parents live out there, sir. So I know they do.
I know they do. That was merely a comment, not a criticism. So, okay. Thank you very much. So now we need to vote on that
motion.
Correction. I have
a motion to vote.
Motion
to approve.
So move.
Second.
Second.
Second. Vote, please.
Mr. Galloway.
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. Thank you very much. Next, we have campus support. Gentlemen, we appreciate very much Dr. Lee McDade.
Thank you, Dr. Highlander. What you have before you is a first reading of a change to board policy on community use of school facilities. No action is required at this time. The change was updated due to some recent events that transpired at one of our schools that we felt we did need to change board policy.
Thank you for that. No action is required, am I correct?
No action is required.
Thank you, sir. First reading.
I have a question about this policy. This policy, just curious if you've thought about this policy in regards to the community school model. It seems like this policy makes it easy for schools to actually implement the community school model. Would you say that's accurate, or would there have to be some tweaking to it?
Well, any time you're changing school facility use, you're going to probably have to tweak your policy a little bit, but I think we've got a pretty good policy in place. Yes, ma'am.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you, Dr. McDade. Look at number two.
Yes, at this time I ask that the board approve the MOU, the agreement between HCDE and HCEA. There were three changes to the MOU or three additions. I think Mr. Liner outlined those for you. A 3% raise, a one-time bonus, and a PD or professional development pay going from $10 an hour to $15 an hour. Those are in the currently approved budget at this time. There will be no addition to the budget required.
Okay. We have a motion.
I motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion made and second. Any discussion?
Steve, I just wonder if, since we're not going to get any more money, what else are we going to lose if we give this kind of a raise? What else are we going to lose in the school system? I mean, we're going to have to do some that's the only thing that I have a problem with, is giving these raises before we find out how much money we're going to get.
We presented a balanced budget to the county commission, Ms. Thurman. It will require or no cuts or no additions. It's no additions. In the current funding.
Yeah, that's no additions. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. I will say that we presented the county commission, our staff did the county commission, the needs, and showed that we were drastically under some of the surrounding systems, and I thank you for working. Both groups are working together on this. Thank you. We've got a motion, second. Any other comments? Let's have the vote, please.
Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes, with that steely look from Mr. Dan Liner. Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Scares me to death.
Chairman?
Not really. I just don't like the way we do business up here.
And Chairman? I will make it unanimous. Thank you. I believe you have one more, Dr. McDade.
Yes, sir. We'd like to continue the CEP, or the Community Eligibility Program, that we currently have in 39 schools. This would be just to re-up that for an additional year. I request that the board approve that at this time.
And that is final reading and approval.
Yes.
Okay. We need a motion, please.
Move to approve.
Approve.
Second.
Approved and second.
Okay, this is, I'm sorry.
Discussion, please. Ms. Thurman?
Yes, this one thing that I thought was funny on there, they had Normal Park being in my district. I thought the Normal Park people will love to hear that. I can't wait till I go in and tell them I'm their new board member. I'd like to see the looks on their faces. Yes, but on the thing, it does say that Normal Park is in my district, and I just want everybody to know it is not. Thank God for that, for both of us. Because I would not be a very welcome partner in that building, but that's okay. But I'm going to vote against this, because this is one of those things I think is blatantly unfair. Like I say, we just assume that everybody in some schools are rich and everybody in other schools are poor, and that's just not the way it is. Some people, we're providing free breakfast and lunch to a lot of people's children that can certainly afford to pay for it themselves. But other people that are really struggling, that are proud people that may not want to fill out the forms, they have to pay for their own child lunch and do without lots of other things. So I think this is just blatantly unfair, and so that's the reason I'm voting against it. Not because people say you don't want our children to eat. I mean, I'm tired of all that nonsense, but that's not the reason at all. So like I say, you can have two women sitting side by side making the same exact amount of money, and just because where their children go to school, one gets free breakfast and lunch and the other has to come up with money for theirs. So I just think this is totally unfair, and so I will be voting against it.
Thank you, ma'am. Any other comments? Okay. Call for the vote, please.
Mr. Galloway?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
No.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. Thank you. Dr. McDade, I believe you do have another. East Ridge property agreement update?
That's
consent. Oh, we're done that. I'm sorry. My fault. Human Resources, Ms. Stacy Stewart.
That was on the consent. We're on board.
It's on the consent. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Ms. Childs, excuse me. No. I look back.
Just did that one.
Order number 7, Board Matters.
Pardon me again. I think I have it this time. The alternatives for iZone schools. We have been looking at two different options, and Dr. McQueen is wanting to work with us, and we need to have a brief discussion on where we're coming on that. I think Dr. McQueen is going to be coming to Chattanooga next week, and we'll be meeting individually with board members, and I would like to open the discussion on that from you guys. Comments?
Yes. We've been so busy with the superintendent search. Kritz and I had a forum 2 weeks ago, and we actually dedicated about an hour and a half of that forum to community members to come and talk to us about the state proposal. I would actually like to see the board, for those of us that, you know, maybe have some thoughts about how we can move forward in this process, perhaps form a committee or a working group to actually explore this proposal in more depth. Even though I know that Candace McQueen has set up meetings with myself and Ms. Jones and you, and I don't know if she's setting up meetings with the rest of the board, but, you know, just our forum really opened my eyes to maybe other possibilities or ways to bring the community into this process. And maybe that's not the answer. Maybe that's not what the board wants, but I would be interested in having a couple work sessions around the proposal before we dive into any type of vote on it. And again, I haven't talked to Ms. Jones about this, but I would think that she and I would be interested in serving on that committee. And so I just wanted to ask that if that's something that you're interested in, Chairman Highlander, that you would ask us to put together a committee or something along those lines.
I think we certainly need to consider that. Ms. Thurman, I believe, is next.
Yes. I think there's a lot more questions that need to be answered about this. First of all, what they're asking us to do is still not legal, is it? Legislation has not changed.
That is correct. Not yet. The legislature would have, correct me, Mr. Bennett, if I'm wrong, the legislature would have to make a change before it would be legal to have this.
That's correct.
And this is the group of people that wanted to come in and they can't even get the test out. You know, these are the kind of things I'm having a problem with. I mean, they're wanting to come in and take over our school to tell us how to do our job better, and I'm thinking, who's minding the store? And I'm also very concerned of the fact that a lot of the things that have been put into those schools, a lot of the programs and things that have been put into these iZone schools, and now that with the $11 million we spent in the last 5 years, she said they would be able to keep some of the programs that they wanted to keep. Well, I'm thinking that they're probably not wanting to get rid of any of them, and somebody has to pay for those, and I'm afraid that a lot of that money is going to come from schools in my district. The money has to come from somewhere to keep that up, and I'm just not really willing to do that. I'm going to have a whole lot more answers. They said they would put $1 million into the school. Well, that's chump change, really. It's not really that much money when you talk about spreading it over 5 schools for doing all the work that they think they can do. But like I say, I guess my main thing is, this is still not, I mean, how can we negotiate about doing something that's still not legal? I just don't understand how we can enter into that conversation, because we don't have any idea. We could do all these plans and stuff, and all of a sudden the legislature not pass it, and then here we are. So that's my main question.
I'll go to Ms. Jones. I will say this. We definitely cannot make a finalization until the legislature makes a change. There cannot be. But Ms. Jones.
I'm open for any discussion about these 5 schools and any that possibly may be coming onto a list as the summer ends, because while we are talking about 5 schools right now, the state will pull a list, and so there could be possibly other schools that would be considered at that time. And I just want to make sure that my peers remember that just because it's 5 schools now, it could be 10 by the end of the summer, and we don't know where they're going to come from. Because it's all based on your test scores, and we know how TVOS does and how all that goes about, and I mean, we just know what happens with that. So I just want to make sure that that's put out there. I can tell you, prior to even coming on this board, I remember when the I-Zone was presented to Hamilton County. And then prior to coming to this board, volunteering in those schools, volunteering with those kids, knowing principals and teachers that work there, and even being on the board now, I do know that there are things that are working in that school, in those schools, that they probably would like to keep. And there probably are things in their school that they don't want to do anymore and they want to change. I do know from reading a lot of things that school reform and turning around schools and transformation doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in 3 years. And it definitely is not going to be a rapid process, because it wasn't a rapid process to get it there. So we have to keep in mind that we can't expect a microwave dinner when it was like a pot roast frozen for 3 weeks, put in a crock pot on low. I know that was a bad analogy, but y'all get what I'm saying. It took a while to get there. It didn't happen overnight, is what I'm saying. And I know we live in a very rapid environment where we want things overnight, and it's just not going to happen that way. And I don't know how to stress enough that if we don't address the socioeconomic situations that these kids are in, it doesn't matter what partnership, it doesn't matter what dollar, it doesn't matter if you don't have a dollar, it doesn't matter if you got $1 million. If you don't address what they're walking out of every day, and we're always going to have problems. Me and Rhonda rarely agree, but I do agree that a dollar doesn't fix everything. But we have to address the socioeconomic situations that those kids are coming out of, which is where I think we as a board need to do more advocating on addressing those issues to the other delegations that have the responsibilities and have the means to do that. As far as the partnership goes, we don't, it's not a law right now. And so all of this, from my understanding, and I've always had this understanding, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Highlander or Mrs. Robinson, this is all just a discussion. We're not signing and doing anything. That's We're right. Just discussing what an ample opportunity is. And Ms. Robinson and I were at another forum the next day after we had a forum, and the Tennessee Code Annotated was presented. And if you really look at what was presented to us, the lady, Dr. McQueen, has went down a list of options. The only option she skipped was because her test situation didn't work out well for her last year, but it was to reevaluate based on test scores. Well, that wasn't the option, so she went to the next option. So we have to, I think, also keep in mind what we're looking at legislative-wise and law-wise, and just having an ability to have a discussion. I do want to say Tiffany and I have also met with the administrators of those schools one-on-one, and I do know, and Tiffany can support me on this, they feel like we're the only two board members that they see and really care. So I do think it's time for all nine of us to collectively go into those schools or talk to those administrators and hear what's going on and see what's happening. Now, school is out, so I know we can't do that right now, but we can talk to the administrators. But I think it's really time for us to go on a tour of our schools and see what's really going on, because if our administrators don't feel like they're supported, and we don't want to pull from anybody. I don't want any other school to lose out on something because another school needs it. But what I do know is, and I'm a medical social worker, so I'm going to pull out another analogy. When I'm at work and I get a consult, if I have a consult for somebody with a trauma in ER and I have a patient with an elective knee surgery, I got to go to the ER first, because that's what's most important. So I think we have to realize that we have to go and address what's most important, because these are our most vulnerable kids. Not to say there aren't vulnerable kids in other areas, but this is what the state is saying right now is our most vulnerable population. And I think we would not be doing our due diligence if we don't have a discussion to figure out what is going to be best for them. Because when we do what's best for them, we're going to be doing what's best for all kids in Hamilton County, so they don't catapult and it's received on another end. I just wanted to put that out there, because I think we have to look at it like this is an emergent situation. Yes, we have other issues going on, but we don't want to have an abscess when it's just a little prick somewhere else. So we have to look at how that's going to happen.
Thank you. I will reiterate something that Ms. Jones said. This is merely, and Ms. Robinson also, this is merely a discussion. We cannot legally enter into any binding agreement. And also, staff, if you will help me, the way I understand it right now, as far as Achievement School District takeover, they only have the power to take two of those five schools right now. Is that correct? They only have two. Although Dr. McQueen has alluded to the fact that we can take all five, I think they only have the definite power to take two, or am I incorrect?
She has alluded to two. I don't know that I would say it's accurate to say she can only take two, but okay. The two that have come up in conversations with Dr. McQueen have been Orchard Knob Middle and Brainerd High School. But to say that those are the only two.
Does she have the power to take all five?
I believe legally she would.
Pardon me?
I believe legally she would.
Okay. I wasn't real sure about that. Thank you. Okay. Okay, Ms. Robinson, and then
yeah,
we'll
just,
try
I just
to
wanted
call
to
it,
make one comment based on Rhonda's comments. I did talk with Todd Gardenhire earlier this week, and I do think it's important that, you know, whatever discussion we have, that we at least attempt to bring him into the fold, because if we were to go forward with something that would require legislation change, you know, it has to go to him first. I believe he's the head of the education committee, or he's at least on the education. So anyways, all that to say, I think there's just a lot of discussion to be had, and I feel like a committee that's really dedicated to thinking through options would be beneficial for us.
I would be open to that. I will talk with you individually about that, trying to come up with a committee for discussion.
No, okay. I want to crawl under a rock.
I will be glad to work with you all on that. Okay.
It's a lot going on right now, but no, I'm just playing. I don't mind. I'm all about it. Whatever's going to save those schools and those kids.
Yeah, we're here.
Thank you so much. Okay. Signal Mountain Facilities. Let me, if I may say, I'll let Ms. Lennon make whatever statement she wants, but let me say as chair that I would like to work with the people on Signal Mountain, both the incorporated and unincorporated areas, and I personally hope they will choose to stay in a unified system, and I would like to work with them toward that means and in a conciliatory manner and work with them in a positive manner, but that's just my personal view. Ms. Lennon.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank Michael and Debbie. Thank you so much for coming. And Signal Mountain that is here tonight, I appreciate it. For those of you that don't know, there's a lot of meetings. So these people have been attending a meeting at least every single week, whether it be a budget meeting. The viability meetings are every other week on Wednesday. So it's been quite intense. And I have attended, or else Dr. McDade has been there representing Hamilton County. And I'd also like to say that we are providing them with any information that they are requesting from us. Dr. McDade has been great about giving them they've asked us questions, and we've tried to answer everything that they have. But I think it's time now to ask the question and about the schools, the property, because when they are preparing their budget, they are not including the cost of the buildings or the property in their budget. And I think that it's time to find out, and I'm going to have to ask our lawyer legally what is that call for the buildings and the property on Signal Mountain.
Well, Ms. Lennon, the schools on Signal Mountain belong to the Hamilton County Board of Education. I know that there's been an assumption on the part of some folks that if Signal Mountain forms its own district, that they'll automatically get those buildings. And respectfully, I think that's incorrect for three reasons. First, state law is very clear that county school buildings, the title of those buildings is vested in the County Board of Education. That's general state law. Second, when the General Assembly amended the state law to allow for municipalities to start their own districts again, they spelled out that the municipalities could build, buy, or lease school buildings. They did not say that municipalities could take existing county buildings. And if that had been the intent of the General Assembly, then they would have spelled that out there in the statute. Tennessee has what we call the Dillon Rule, which is if the General Assembly doesn't specify a power to a local governmental entity, then the governmental entity presumably doesn't have that power. So the title belongs to the board. The General Assembly did not give the town of Signal Mountain or the municipalities the authority to take those buildings, not just Signal, but any municipality. And so the third reason, which is actually probably the very biggest reason, back in 2005, the Hamilton County Board of Education, Hamilton County Government, the town of Signal Mountain, and the town of Walden all entered into a four-way contract, the gist of which was in exchange for those two towns committing a certain amount of money for the construction, county government would commit some funds for the construction, and this board would undertake staffing the school. And Ms. Thurman may recall that there was some, you know, there was a tight budget crunch back in 05, and there was some concern about could the board undertake outfitting another high school at that point in time. And so everybody was committing something to the joint effort. And one of the specific terms of the contract said that the parties to this interlocal agreement agree that the Hamilton County School Board shall own the facilities. And it goes on to say the time frame is during the life of the facility. So even if the law otherwise allowed any municipality to take the buildings when it starts its new school district, the town of Signal Mountain has already committed in a contract that this building, the Signal Mountain Middle High School, belongs to this board. And when you think about it, it makes some sense because the town of Walden was throwing some money into the mix, and they wanted to be sure that their interests were protected as well. So in my opinion, for that property to go to the town of Signal Mountain, four governmental entities would have to agree to revise this now 12-year-old contract. County government, this board, the town of Signal, and the town of Walden. They would all have to agree.
May I make a brief comment? I've done a little bit of research, as I did my master's thesis on education law, and I looked at what I've seen as a direct parallel precedent is the incident of the city of Germantown creating its own district within Shelby County. And would you like to address that, or do you want me to?
Sure. Dr. Howland, that's a great point. A lot of people have looked to the Shelby County situation as a roadmap for Signal Mountain or other districts forming their own system. And actually, I think it's not a bad roadmap, but what is often overlooked is not every school within the municipalities that seceded went with the municipalities. And the best, what you pointed to is the best example. The city of Germantown started its own district. Well, Germantown High School, Germantown Middle School, and Germantown Elementary School are all located, as you might guess, within the city of Germantown. Those three schools are to this day owned and operated by Shelby County Schools. Germantown very much wanted those schools because, well, it's Germantown High School. The Germantown school system probably would want them. Shelby County said straight up, you can't, we need them because we have to serve these kids in the other side of the county. And so there have been negotiations through the years because Germantown would like to get those, but Shelby County has a need. If there was a legal basis for Germantown to take those schools, they would have done so. The same situation applies here on Signal Mountain, because while Signal Mountain might be open to educating students from Walden or from the unincorporated area, the reality of it is that the General Assembly has imposed the legal duty on this board to educate those kids. As a matter of fact, this board has the legal duty to educate any student who lives within the town of Signal Mountain who might not want to go to the town of Signal Mountain schools. And so you have to have a provision in place to educate those kids who are on that mountain, whether they live within the town or not. So it's not a simple situation of the entire mountain secedes, there's no one to educate. You have the legal duty to provide for those folks one way or the other.
And also my research showed that the city of Germantown has offered $25 million to Shelby County for those three buildings, and it has not as yet been accepted. So that's just
correct.
I'm trying to do my homework, as Ms. Thurman says, due diligence. Ms. Lennon?
So when the committee is here tonight, I think that you can take back, they can take with them that we have to provide an education. We have to have a school on Signal Mountain to provide an education for those that live in Walden and unincorporated. And the schools are ours. It sounds like that they belong to the Board of Education.
That's my opinion, Ms. Lynn, yes.
Okay. So I don't think that's not something that I personally want to get rid of. I don't know if anybody else does, but I would think that I would want to keep those schools.
Have they been paid for yet? I'm not paid for yet.
You know, Ms. Thurman, that's another really good point. How do I put this? The way that the county does the bond issue, I don't know that you can actually say that there is a note on this school the same way that there would be a deed of trust on your house. But it's my understanding that there are still bond issues tied to the high school and possibly Nolan. I'm not positive about Nolan. And so that actually creates a problem. Even if this board wanted to transfer that property to the town, and even if the county agreed and the town of Walden agreed, legally you couldn't transfer it because you cannot sell something that is under bond. Now, frankly, I have to leave that discussion with bond counsel for the county, because it's kind of a black art. I don't understand it.
Thank you so much. Any other discussion before we move on?
When are the meetings?
The meetings are the first and third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. at Signal Mountain Town Hall.
7 o'clock. Okay. Thank you so much. Is there any other business that we have to discuss? Any announcements?
The school start times,
correct. I'm sorry. I saw Ms. Lennon and looked over it. Ms. Lennon, school start times.
Yes, we brought that up a couple of months ago, and I just wanted to know if it was going to change for next year, if we have talked to our new transportation director and if anything's been worked out about that.
So that would come with a great cost, and we have a neutral budget. That we would have to increase transportation costs probably more than $2 million to go down to a two-tier start time. Right now we're at a three-tier start time. I think that is something that, as a board, that we do need to work towards, at a minimum a two-tier start time, maybe an 8 and 9 or something close to those two start times. But again, that would come with a high cost.
How would that work, Lee, if we looked at adjusting times for, like, our eyes on schools or our, you know, the priority schools, because the administrators do express how that is a big issue. So certainly
that can be looked at on a case-by-case basis, Mrs. Jones, but those are not easy moves when you're on a tight schedule as we're on with our buses, and I don't think you could do all of them without some expense added to the transportation budget. But it is certainly something we can look into and we'll be happy to do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. McDade.
It would be beneficial if we could, but if we can't afford it, we can't afford it. So high schoolers definitely do better when they start later in the day. But if we can't afford it, then that's one thing. Do we have any other matters that we need to bring up? Ms. Thurman?
Yes, I think we need to find out what we're going to do about the bus contract. Okay, so we need to either have a work session or do something so we can, I think I've discussed it with you about maybe getting a committee together, possibly, to bring something to the board or something, but we do need to move on that. A lot of bus drivers are wanting to know what's going on.
Help me, Mr. Bennett, correct me if I'm wrong, we tabled that at a prior meeting. Is that correct?
Yes. You do have a contract that the board approved. So the default setting is there is a contract for transportation to submit to the drivers. The board raised some concerns or some questions at the last meeting, and so that's been tabled. So if the board wants to present something other than the existing contract, you would need to have a work session and then a special call meeting.
Do we need a committee or do we need the whole board work session?
Well, if the board wanted to present something other than what currently exists, you would need the whole board to vote on it. Because right now you have a contract that's been presented. And so if you want to change that contract, that does require board approval.
Which would require either wait till the July meeting, which would be pretty late, or a special call meeting. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So would Dr. McDade, would you be willing to work with us at least in looking at rewording the contract?
I've given you a contract working with the attorney. If y'all want to reword the contract, I'm good. That is y'all's
okay.
priority.
Thanks, sir. Who would so would anyone like to volunteer to look at the a possible rewording for a committee to present to the entire board?
I'll do it.
Okay, Mr. Wingate? I take it, Ms. Thurman, you would like to? I will work also. Is there anyone else who would like to work on that? Okay. We'll just have we have a work session, and we need to announce that at least a week in advance. Is that correct, Ms. Ford? So we will we'll get together and find a mutually agreeable time. I would rather have an odd number of people, if at all possible. No. I'm not trying to get anyone out. I'm just saying that if we make recommendations to the board, we need, you know, we need a majority of the committee to make a recommendation. Am I correct? So, what if a fifth person would like to come on? Ms. Lennon said she would come on also. So we will. Ms. Thurman, would you like to chair that committee? And if you would like to chair that, can I see if we can get together? Or do you want me to?
I don't care.
If you want to call it, we can meet in your shop.
Can my granddaughter be there? That's always fun.
That's right. If the five of us will be glad, the four of us will be glad to work with you.
Okay.
On that.
Okay.
And make recommendations. So, any other matters? Any announcements?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
We've talked about several work sessions that are going to have to come up. Like, I know we can't set them today, but you know, people's lives are going on. People have vacations planned. I mean, you know,
amen.
Mr. Smith gone every other hour, so. We need, you know, I mean, he living life like a teenager over here. So, you know, that's what kids do in the summer. But no, I'm jealous. But anyway, you know, a lot of people have things planned. So, you know, and what I don't want to happen is that we start having these meetings going forward and people can't be where they can't be here. I don't think we need to start setting that precedence to have important meetings about things that are very important to our district. And people can't be here to voice their opinions, to be a part of the process. I think we need to strategically look at that so that everybody's where they need to be and able to participate.
And I will agree that if you remember our strategic planning meeting, we Tammy suggested and we agreed to have less meetings. And what have we done? We've had a whole lot more. So we've had a whole lot more. And that's why we're looking at committee work rather than a work session to make a recommendation. And if we don't get a majority, we won't make any recommendation change at all. We'll call Ms. Thurman. Find a time when the five of us can get together. So, any other announcements? Thank you all so much, and I appreciate you. We're adjourned. Boy, Lee is.